This episode of Code Pen Radio is sponsored by Media Temple. For years, Media Temple's grid service has been the web hosting choice of more designers, developers, and creative professionals than any other platform. That's because a single grid account can host anything from your portfolio site to 100 different client projects, and the grid is ready for anything. Hundreds of servers work together to keep your sites online, even if you suddenly hit the front page of Reddit. The coupon code for us is CP25. That's 25% off your web hosting. Visit MediaTemple.com.
Today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Code Pen Radio, where we talk to you about all the things that it takes to run an online web software business. This week we're going to do just that. It is the three of us. I'm Chris Coyer, and I have with me Alex Vasquez.
Hey there.
And Tim Sabbat.
This is me.
Oh, that was good. Deep. Your mouth must be really close to from the diaphragm.
It's my birthday voice. I'm 39 now. So,
nice. Yeah, happy birthday, Tim. I just found out about that.
About birthdays?
Yeah, about birthdays.
Well, if you know what reminded me, Facebook, and you know what we're going to talk about today is social media. That wasn't even planned. That was just good segue. It's just been on our list for a while because it's one of those things that you pretty much can't ignore as really any kind of company, and especially not a tech company, and especially not a web tech company, I would think. These days, you probably just kind of need some kind of presence. And when I say social media, that probably will have meaning for a number of years to come. But really, at this moment in 2015, I'm here.
Yep.
It means Facebook and Twitter, essentially. Because there's just, I think at one time there was probably more scattering of, you know, who's going to emerge. But it's pretty much just Facebook and Twitter at the moment. And I guess we don't need to sit here and define what they are, but it's just kind of any site that just makes it really, really easy to sign up for and just spout off stuff, and people follow each other and other people follow, you know, it's just like a really low barrier to entry, micro blogging kind of thing. I know that doesn't mean much. There's probably been attempts to define what social media is, but I think we all kind of know what it is. It's things like Twitter and Facebook. So, I mean, can you even think of a company that just chooses not to just have either an account on either one of those services? I mean, that would be weird. I mean, like toilet paper companies have Twitter accounts.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you don't have that, you leave yourself open, I guess, to some negative consequences, because basically people can trumpet whatever they want and there's no accountability on the company's part. So, yeah, you should have it.
I didn't even think of that, but you should have it so that somebody else doesn't pretend to be you on it.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't even thought of that. I guess that should be in our notes, but that kind of like danger of losing your kind of brand on there would be pretty darn dangerous. Not that you couldn't fake do it anyway. I'm sure there's certainly like parody accounts that do it, but having your own name on Twitter is pretty good. We happen to have twitter.com/codepen. We didn't at first, and I think we just kind of lightly complained about it, and I think somebody at Twitter listened, which was, you know, I hate to say it, it's kind of just an advantage of kind of knowing the right person at the right time. Because I, you know, if anybody out there has their eye on a particular Twitter account that's taken, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know anything. I did some light complaining. So maybe try that.
I know light complaining, yeah. I'm good at that.
Sure. So probably we'll talk about Twitter the most because it seems to me that the tech community, the web community, takes to Twitter seemingly more to Twitter. But at the same time, there's some evidence that that might not be true, and it might just be my personal bias because I kind of like it. I've personally been on Twitter a long time, and I like kind of get a kick out of it and have a decent presence there and think it's kind of a fun place to be.
Yeah, I think it might be also just our particular community too. You know, we're relatively niche too. I think like your general web person who's like interested in the internet, maybe not in developing. I think it's more of a developer niche than it is like a than a web niche, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if there is another outlet, I would love to know that. Definitely comment on that, because it is something that in our sphere, I don't know anyone who uses, say, Facebook in the way that we use Twitter. Twitter like keeps you up to date on things and you can contact people directly. I've never attempted to do that. Facebook is like for my mom and my aunt and things like that. But I'd love to know if there is another media outlet, another social media outlet out there that people use to contact companies and talk to them and things like that. Because
can you even, like, this shows my ignorance, but like, let's say I was kind of upset at Charmin, my toilet paper company. Can I just blast over to their Facebook page and just post something right on their wall? I doubt it, right? Or even if you can, it'll probably just get deleted. I can't voice my displeasure of toilet paper right on their Facebook page, right? God, it's just embarrassing that I don't even know that. But
yeah, I don't know. I think you might be able to, because they might manage something like Charmin manages all social media accounts. But like a smaller tech company, maybe, like I doubt.
No, but you're saying, can you post on a? I think like a page for Charmin is going to have a wall, and it's just like anything else. Can't you post on someone's wall? Or you're saying you can't do that anonymously? We would have to almost like.
Oh yeah, or is it kind of, you know, because people can easily go to Twitter, type @CodePen, and just say, "Hey, I think I found a bug in your blogging feature. Like, when this is the case, or whatever." And we're like, "Cool, thanks so much for that support request." Can I go to Charmin and be like, I tried to tear off a sheet of toilet paper and it just went all willy-nilly. Like, is there a place for that where like not the whole world doesn't have to see it? Because I doubt Charmin wants that front and center when you go to their Facebook page. They probably want like coupons and I don't even know. But I'm just wallowing in my ignorance of all this. But I think another thing is that we can kind of look at all of Twitter. You can do a search for CodePen on Twitter and kind of have a stream of like what the entire world is saying about CodePen. And we find that tremendously useful. Not only do we look for @CodePen mentions, but we kind of have a search for all of CodePen, which allows us to see like who's tweeting about their work, who, you know, is saying something and kind of like doesn't maybe understand all the Twitter vernacular and is trying to like get our attention but forgot to use @CodePen or something weird like that. It turns up more interesting stuff. And I feel like that's impossible on Facebook too. I can't just like pop over to Facebook and see what all of Facebook is saying about CodePen. There's just no like, I don't know, APIs for that. It's not really how Facebook is built. It's mostly just like all that activity happens on pages that people like intentionally follow and stuff. And so I say Twitter is kind of, I feel like there's more web devy people there. There's more back and forth. I think the model makes a little bit more sense for us. And I think web people like it better. But at the same time, I remember a company called Treehouse, you know, the learning educational company Treehouse. I think at a time just didn't have a Facebook account and we're in that mode. And then this is years and years ago, and we're way surprised at the size of the Facebook community and now kind of embraces it, I think.
Really? 'Cause
there's just like, wow, there's a lot of our users over here. Shoot, we should have done this a long time ago kind of thing. Now, I'm putting words in their mouth, so don't quote me on that, but I seem to remember that companies when they don't have any Facebook presence and then pop over there, they're just like, whoa, there is people here. And I don't doubt that could happen to us one day. Anyway, that's what I have to say about that. Again, though, the reason that we don't isn't through some, you know, it's not like we're like, ugh, Facebook, the scourge of the earth kind of thing. Even if we did have that opinion, A, who cares? This isn't about, not everything is about our little personal opinions about how things operate. If there are our users there, we should probably be there. But the main reason that we're not is because it's just one of those hours in the day thing.
Yeah, it's a time sink. I mean, we got to pick and choose our battles. And at the moment, you know, we're serving the tech community and we're going to go where the largest number of tech people are. I think at some point, you know, if we have someone who can man the social media helm, then, you know, it'll be great that we kind of are present on all of those in all of those places. But at the moment, yeah, it's hours in the day. It's a distraction kind of thing. We're going to go where most folks are.
And what is it? How do people engage with us on social media? To me, it seems like there's two things. There's like 95% of it maybe is somebody sharing something they built with CodePen because they're pumped about it. Like that's huge. That's the most number one thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You see that all the time.
And I want to see that because it's exciting for me too. And it's a way for us to find pens to feature on the homepage because of all the metrics out there of how many views it has, how many comments it has, how many followers they have, how new it is, of all the like algorithmic things we can do, I would say the number one metric that indicates whether a pen is good or not is if someone has shared it on social media. Because it's just the chances of it not being a throwaway pen are really high. The chances of them having worked on it and are proud of it is super high. Like they self-tweet it, there's a good chance it's like it's worth looking at, you know?
Definitely. It's for picks for when we all do editor's picks once in a while, even though Chris does the bulk of it. 99% of the picks that I find personally are through Twitter, just searching for @CodePens or CodePen links in Twitter. And it's usually very, very high quality compared to just looking at all the pens that are being created on CodePen.
And then some portion of it is people reaching out to tell us about a bug or because they're mad about something or they just generally need some support. They have a question or something. There is some amount of that. At least several a day, I'd say. And we like to meet people where they are. I think it's a little rude when you see a company who is very forceful about forcing their particular support funnel upon you. Like if you even mention the fact that you have a bug, idea, support request, you know, any kind of voice of critical feedback or whatever, to be like, please file a bug report at this URL. You know, it's just like, oh, they already did. They told you what they typed.
I get it. It is. And I guess I can see how if people have a very formal like bug triaging system, that does make kind of sense. But I guess if you handle it in support correctly, it's possible you could mention the tweet yourself inside of the bug reporting tool and then triage that to the correct person and make sure that they follow up not only through email but through the channel that the request came in through.
Yeah, like I mean, of course, there's two sides of it. It's kind of understandable if you have this system that really works well for you internally. Kind of shuffling people over to that makes sense. And sometimes people are like, "Well, you only get the 140 characters on Twitter too, so it's hard to do that." Like, what if I need to, you know, explain a little bit in more detail how this thing works? But and it's not just the rudeness either. It's kind of just I just think it feels they're trying to help you, so let yourself be helped, you know?
Yeah, I also think that, like, that's changing too. I saw yesterday that they, like, lifted the 140 character restriction on DMs. Yeah. So if you did want to do support through this, you'd have to do it over a DM channel, but still, you know.
That works too, and I have gone into our account and done the thing where it used to be that Twitter's one way, right? Like you can follow us, but I don't have to follow you, or you can follow us and we don't have to follow you. Like it works, it's kind of a one-way connection kind of thing, but you both had to be following each other in order for DMs to work. That's an optional setting now, and I have gone into our account and changed it so that anybody can DM us regarding of the following thing. And even if that wasn't the case, I'm happy to follow whoever. Like, this isn't – I don't, you know, really carefully curate who CodePen follows. I'm just like follow, 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 follow. You know, I just like following people because in a way it's kind of like a weird like – heart for your whole account. I'm just if I or anybody at CodePen has followed you, it's just because you've probably like tweeted something you're proud of or said something nice about us or went to one of our meetups or whatever. Heck yeah, I'll follow you, you know? I mean, know that we don't we're not like, you know, we don't have a normal stream that we're looking at generally, whatever, you know what I mean. But so that you know that you can DM CodePen.
That's interesting. So if you've turned that setting off, does that mean like once someone's DM'd you, we can DM them back? Or do they have to also have that setting turned on? Do you know if it works reciprocally?
That's a really good point. You'd think if they DM'd you,
that's yeah, like opens the channel somehow.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that, because it does need to work in reverse too. It seems like, man, that seems so ridiculous if you get a DM and you can't respond to it because they're not following you because they haven't turned that on.
Yeah,
I would think chances are they're following you like anyway, so it probably doesn't come up very often. But I guess there's still a possibility that you couldn't get one back. Anyway, but you can always hit us up that way. And now that the restriction has been lifted, we can do more robust support that way. And I'm not going to discourage you from that. If that's the way you want to do it, fine. Especially because we actually have and use a particular tool for this. We use and pay for a tool called Respondly, respond.ly. And it's kind of like a not particularly cheap tool for what it is, too. It's like we pay, it's, I don't know, it's $150 a month or something. It's just, not, you know, that's definitely something that we like have discussions about before we kind of okay. And it's not a perfect tool. There's things I kind of wish were better about it. But what it is kind of like an inbox. Like anybody that mentions at CodePen, it just plops into this inbox and it doesn't leave there until you deal with it. So it's kind of like email in a sense that way. You have to archive it to get rid of it. And all of us kind of sign in with our personal Twitter accounts, and that way we all have individual accounts in here. So I can take this one and be like, this tweet only Tim can deal with. So I'm just going to assign it to Tim, and Tim will be notified, and he's got his own little inbox of so there's the global one and then your kind of personal inbox, and he can deal with them. And that's been working out pretty good, I think, hasn't it?
No, I think it works really well because hats off to you, Chris. You basically take the brunt on this stuff. Like the feed is pretty overwhelming. I've gone in there before when you're on vacation or whatever and tried to deal with it. And there's a lot of noise to the signal, I guess, because not that it's noise, but there are people, if you're looking specifically for support requests, for example, there's a lot of tweets that are exactly like you said, someone showing off work. We want to see that.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise.
But we do also like want to be able to use this as a tool for support. And I would say it's like 200-1 for like people showing to
it might be, yeah.
Yeah, to people like actually requesting something from us. So it's nice to be able to triage that stuff and send a report out specifically to me, because then I get that notification. If there were anything I could complain about, it'd be that I can't, like, they don't have a native client, like on my iPhone, there's no way for me to do that. Right. So I have to log into the site, and that's not super easy. It doesn't work very well on
it's not a mobile tool.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, I think it's pretty great.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't know what we would do otherwise. Otherwise, it would just be a shot in the dark. I use a Twitter's own tweet deck on CSS Tricks, because I also have a team over there. And that's kind of cool because it's similar in that I can give people access to the CSS, to the Twitter account without sharing them the password. They're just kind of on the team, and only I can manage the team. So they have access, but I could remove their access if they needed to be, which is nice. But then they log in through 2x, so other people can tweet out, which is cool. And it allows you to schedule tweets, and everybody can see and deal with DMs and stuff. It's kind of a tool like that, but because it's not an inbox, you don't really know who's responded to what and stuff like that. There's no like assigning things to certain people. You don't know who's read what or whatever. It kind of works for CSS Tricks because it's not, we don't really do support, you know, it's just a blog or whatever you want to call it. But for CodePen, we kind of need it, I think, to kind of know and be able to, for sure, if somebody finds a bug, to assign it to the right person and make sure that they're dealt with or whatever, because customer support is a big deal. This all kind of comes down to customer support in a way. That's why we have to manage this, is we can't just ignore that. That would be – certainly we've gotten – CodePen is better because we've listened on social media.
Oh, 100%. I mean, a lot of ideas come from that. You kind of get the general sense of things. If you were to go back through, if you had never heard of CodePen and go back through a week's worth of CodePen tweets and at replies and things like that, you kind of get a general sense of what's happening in our community. You get a sense of what we're doing as well.
We're very, the vibe, I hope, of us is very positive. I think we're all pretty positive people. But, you know, anything I retweet has a positive vibe to it. Anything we tweet out is like, look, this is exciting. This is a new thing. And I think that comes back on itself. Like that positivity is the code pen community in a sense. It definitely has a happiness to it. And if you were to do that, look through weeks of tweets of Kobe, I think you'd see that. You'd see lots of people being excited about the things that they build and CodePen itself and stuff like that. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's valuable.
Yeah, it's incredibly valuable. Like even when, you know, we'll have the occasional negativity, like say, for example, someone takes someone else's work, puts it on CodePen, that person's upset that their work is on CodePen when they don't believe it should be. Always responding with kind of positivity and helpfulness instead of being like, we didn't do this. We're not responsible for this user on our website. I would say that definitely comes back. That's part of the community. No one's going to get chastised. We understand why someone's upset. And even if you kind of get attacked on social media, it's always good to kind of reply with a level head, especially as a company, when you're representing the company, you want nothing. I mean, I think we've all agreed you want nothing but good vibes going out, because companies are easy to demonize and you don't want that to be part of the kind of the CodePen, what people think of CodePen. You don't ever want to think, oh, CodePen is this angry Twitter stream, you know? Yeah. We would never want that, because we don't want that in our community and we don't want it in our Twitter feed.
Good point. And we can be silly there and we can be weird there and we can be happy or excited or ecstatic even, but we can't be a bummer. Yeah. No. But when dealing with support there, you can lose the smiley faces, lose the exclamation points. You know, you can be, if somebody has a problem, you should deal with them in a serious tone. You know, it doesn't have to be boring, but it, you know, or whatever, or corporate, but it has to be like, we're listening to you, you know, that type of thing. It's all part of tone that we try to be pretty consistent, whether it's in any way we communicate, whether it's copy on the site or social media or emails or whatever. Exciting unless it's bad, and then it's serious.
Definitely, that's the rule.
Nice. So that's the kind of the Twitter thing. It's been years maybe that I've been kind of like feeling not embarrassed, but a little weird that we don't have a Facebook account. Still not enough to actually do anything about it. But now if you've been listening to our podcast, which I'm sure you are, we a round of funding recently, and we are interested in hiring, and maybe we should do a whole show on our kind of plan of attack for hiring, but we can allude to the fact that one of those roles is probably somebody who's maybe not a social media person, which I used to think was kind of a joke, and now I think is kind of awesome. I wish we could afford somebody that's specifically that, but we probably can't, because that's probably a little too specific for CodePen, but we certainly can imagine a role that we probably wouldn't call social media, but probably just like community, I believe we're calling it, that deals with, you know, can help us with social media and can help us with all the meetup stuff that we have going on and could possibly do some sales-like work in convincing people that our feature set is cool when they can, and just kind of combining all those roles together, like, a really good communicator and stuff, and that person, and who knows who that person is. Our roles are pretty loose, you know. We'd probably just use them at the things that they're good at doing, but it seems like a person that would be pretty valuable to us. Yeah,
I think so. I do believe that position is necessary. Whether we can like afford a full-time person to do that, probably not at the moment. But yeah, I can see the absolute value in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it depends on how many things. And we've worked at places, and I've heard about places that hire support, and I think Automatic is a company like this, that when they hire support, they don't want to hire somebody who, it sounds weird to say this, but has higher or different ambitions. They don't want somebody who wants to be a front-end developer but is willing to do the support role for now because they like that company. I've heard that kind of echoed before, And I know we're not exactly talking about customer support, but they want somebody who's like cares about support and is going to do support. It doesn't mean that maybe they can never move, but like that they're not interested in taking a role that, you know, they're just like, ugh, I guess I'll do that role for now, you know.
Right, they see it as a profession in itself. Like you can become very specialized in support. Like you're not just a person that triages. If you're very specialized for us, for example, you'd be looking at bug crowd and verifying whether or not these XSS attacks are real. And that takes some skill and some time, you know. So I can see how they would want a person who's committed solely to being that type of person.
Especially at their scale. Like they have a large support team. They want people who are on the support team to do support, not just because they want to work for this particular company. We're so small that I'd be like kind of excited. I'd be like, we could hire you for this role, but if you're really good at something else and we can make use of you doing that other something else, which we almost certainly could, cool. Yeah, I don't know. I think our roles are going to be a little loose at the beginning, mostly because we don't know yet how this is all going to shake out. It seems like getting somebody who to do something that they're, you know, for lack of a better word, passionate about.
That's the key. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be interesting to talk to some. I mean, I think there's lots of like social media specialists. So, I mean, they would probably lose it if we told them we didn't have a Facebook account. They'd be like, I can't believe you don't have a Facebook account. And it'd be interesting to talk to someone who's like specialized in that and understands the value of leveraging all the social media platforms, and maybe there's something else we're not even aware of. I'd love to know about something like that.
I wish, you know, that's why it seems so like feels like kind of like easy to make fun of, because like I've definitely sat through like really bad talks about social media where you're just like, you don't know anything. You're so, I don't know. Medical about this or whatever, that it's like people aren't going to follow you. That's no fun. You know, it seems like you've put together this like weird, you're following some weird PDF of best practices on social media or whatever.
Right. Know? Where someone's like, say, for example, specifically lined up, you know, one tweet every hour on the hour.
Exactly. You should use many hashtags because some people find tweets through the hashtag feature of twitter.com.
Right, where it's not actually I think that as a small company with what I would say a soul, we want to represent ourselves as people, not as just a way to turn users into money. We want to be part of the community and contributing members of the community. And I know exactly, it feels a little gross to be like, tweet things that you actually don't care about, you know?
Yeah, you're not just sort of like blasting out the company line, I guess. You're not just, it's not a press release every time you talk. It's like, it feels like you're interacting with a person. The company has feelings and stuff.
Yeah, totally. And I think you can sense
so
that.
So hard to articulate, isn't it? Because they would say that too. Make sure your tweets have emotional content, you know?
I want to meet this person that you've talked to. Fascinating.
I don't know. But I just feel like I don't have any kind of rule book about this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I just tweet stuff that I think is funny or interesting or relevant to me, and I've amassed a pretty good Twitter following over the years, I guess. And it's been working out for me, following no particular thing other than just kind of trying to, I don't know, be interesting-ish and and just be I'm trying to be myself. But that's funny because, you know, as much as I personally have as at Chris Coyer, which is doing okay, I have a totally robotic account for CSS Tricks itself that has way, way more followers than I do. And all it does is just barfs. For years and years, all it did was suck in the RSS feed and blast out the title with the link. Recently, we're trying to not totally get away from that, but like craft the tweets a little nicer, see how that kind of goes. It seems to be going pretty well. But yeah, there's no magic bullet. Anyway, that's, and then there's, you know, I guess we could mention, like, does LinkedIn matter? Probably not for us as a business, but I guess I don't really know enough. Do they even have business accounts? Google Plus, everybody seems to laugh at, but we'll just kind of see, you know, like, what if Twitter were to sell, or what if Twitter were to make some really nasty mistake and people started leaving in droves? fine. We're not, you know, like that's not the race that we're in here. We just want to be where our customers are. So if everybody jumped ship to app.net or whatever, one of those other things, or what's the really awesome one that I like that, oh my God, I'm going to be embarrassed that
I can't. Is it Ello or?
Yes, Ello. I love Ello. That, you know, and tons of our customers were there. Some of them are actually. We should probably be a little bit more active on Ello. That we'd go there, you know, whatever. For social media, for a company, just go where your customers are, you know. And I say that without us doing it, but ideally mm-hmm. we would, especially if we had more help. So, all right. I guess we've probably talked long enough on this particular subject. Sure. Let us know what you think about social media and stuff. This is, you know, we kind of mentioned at the end that CodePen is brought to you by lovely sponsors, but also brought to you by the CodePen, just you and the pro account that you definitely have if you listen to this podcast, and the fact that your company exclusively uses the CodePen job board as its hiring funnel. We heard it. We got a really excellent endorsement the other day for somebody who posted a job, a rather specific job too, about accessibility stuff, and they said they got something like 20 applicants and 8 interviews and 3 hires or something, which I've never heard that high of.
Amazing. I mean, that's amazing.
That is great.
3 Fantastic. Hires? So if you're looking for a job and your people hire from this job board, they truly do. So enjoy, folks. We'll talk to you soon.
3, Thanks. 2,
9, 7, 1, 3, 2, 9, 7. 6, 0, 3, 1, 8.